One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And we are here live just outside Star Wars Celebration 2019, sir.
That is right. We're at the Alulu Brewery, and it has beer.
It has beer. It has drinks. It is a blue milk alcoholic beverage prepared by Greedo, apparently, which I don't trust, but I'm having my second one. Thank you.
Sorry about the mess.
Indeed. Joseph, as always, though, we do want to remind those listening and the audience here live at the Lulu Brewery that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. As we like to do a little bit later, we'll have our Force Center recommendation. An audiobook we think you should try out on us.
Yeah, that's right. And we also want to say, because of course we're having fun recording this at Star Wars Celebration with all the awesome Force Center fans here in the room, but we're not exactly sure when we're going to release this, so I think it's important to note that we are recording this before we know anything about Episode 9.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing is known about Episode 9. I had one friend text me today what he thought what the title was, and I texted him back, I don't want to know. And then he wrote back, it's just a rumor. So even no one knows anything right about now. News is dropping. Uncle Bob Iger had a little IgerCon.
Yeah, yeah.
And we heard that Disney Plus is launching in 2020, and everyone freaked out, but then they mean fiscal year 2020, which means October 2019. I don't understand business. That's why I'm broke. But that's pretty exciting stuff, too. So news is already flowing out by the time we're pressing record.
Here. Yeah, that's right. So I look forward to like looking back on this and seeing how just grievously wrong we can be about absolutely everything. Yeah. Of course, our partner for doing Force Center is the wonderful Jennifer Landis. She cannot be here this weekend, but we did get a message from her.
Whoa, a message from the Holonet?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you ready for your message from Jennifer Landa? Here we go. Shabasso, yeah, and hello, friends. I'm so sad I can't be here with you all tonight. A small human child will put a bounty on my head if I leave Los Angeles, so I must experience celebration from CouchCon. I hope you all have a magical time in Chicago. Enjoy tonight's show, and as the Wookiees always say, that's beautiful.
That is exactly what Jennifer would have said if she was here, too. Yeah. That's the same noises, too.
And I hope the small child is hers and not a random human child.
Yeah.
Putting some a bounty out on our good friend Jennifer Landa, that would be absolutely terrible.
Interplay, shortly, we're going to have a very special guest joining us after our main topic, that is the wonderful Darina Arellano. You might have known her from Collider Live and just being awesome and snarky and just a favorite of ours. She's going to be on the show. But we are going to have a little bit of a main topic here. We figure, Joseph, since episode 9 is the supposed end of the Skywalker saga, we're going to celebrate the Skywalkers.
That's right. And I just want to start by giving our parameters. So for the sake of our discussion, here are the Skywalkers we're talking about. We got your Shmi.
I like Shmi.
Anakin.
Good one.
Luke.
Heard of him.
Leia's got that Skywalker blood.
Technically, yes. Absolutely, yeah.
Ben has that Skywalker blood.
That's what we hear.
Ben Solo. No Skywalker name, nor Organa name. Only Solo, but he's got that Skywalker blood.
Yeah, and then Rey, right, Rey?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we don't know. Tomorrow. Don't know. I'm sure that'll just be...
That's the trailer tomorrow.
The trailer will just be... Tomorrow will just be J.J. Abrams saying, I've decided to make her a Skywalker.
Fade in. Rey, we've got something to tell you.
Yeah.
So okay, good parameters.
Yeah. So I want to start, Ken, by asking you, when you just hear the word, the name Skywalker, what is the first image that pops into your mind?
You know, it is Luke Skywalker, black glove, green lightsaber, dressed in black, whether it's on the sail barge or just Jedi in general. It might be because of my first real experience with Star Wars, but you hear Skywalker, you hear hero, standing tall type of situation.
Yeah, and you see your beloved Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Yeah, I think it's the same thing. I don't know if it's just like how much that image is just kind of like, it was such a huge image when we were youths of seeing, particularly on the sail barge, the hair being blown gently by the wind, a gentle heroic blowing of hair,
right?
That beautiful green lightsaber, that is the main image, but there is so much more to Skywalker. So I want to ask you, we've got all these Skywalkers we've laid out. If you personally needed protection, which Skywalker would you choose to protect you?
You know what? It's Leia. Leia's the one that sticks through to the end. All these guys, one of the traits of the Skywalkers, and she's got, you know, just as much as Padme's blood, thank God, running through her, is... and she got all that. Plus, I think Bail and Breha Organa kind of instilled a lot of that into her. She sticks around. She doesn't leave. She's gonna help. Not that the others don't, but I love, and it's, you know, I love what happened to Luke. That is mind blowing to me about that arc, because that's true to a lot of what I think his character and what his father's character is and what Ben is. But I would stick with Leia. I'd stick with Leia. Would save me.
Okay, nice. Nice. That's really fun to picture, because obviously many of these Skywalkers, they do a lot of fighting, but I like picturing Leia just like coming over to your place in the valley, and not physically protecting you, but just going like, Ken, I've got some advice about how you should invest your money.
Yeah, which
I need. Let me protect you financially and organizationally.
I need that. Where's Leia, CPA?
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it, but for myself, when you mentioned older Luke Skywalker, I think I would pick Luke Skywalker to guard me, and it would be grumpy Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, he'd hang out, he'd be fun to chat with, and he'd be like, yeah, if something goes down, I'm not going to protect you. You're on your and own. Then when the moment came, he'd be like, all right. I'll do a big old force push for you. And my grumpy Luke would be knocking people over while your taxes get fixed.
Change the fate of the galaxy again just for you.
What is your favorite Luke Skywalker moment?
My favorite Luke Skywalker moment. I'm trying to think because I really do. You got to understand. I love the act of his self-sacrifice in Last Jedi because he is not just the Obi-Wan of the series. He's the Obi-Wan of the galaxy. That's the point of it. And there's a lesson in the death of Obi-Wan, and there's a lesson in the death. It's the mentor role in Star Wars. So that, to me, I love it. That's and I am a Ignite the Green, Still Saunders and I, we talk about, like, I wanted the Mecha Luke that Hello Greedo's put out there. And I went through a journey, and at the end of that, that's my moment.
Yeah.
Also, you know, Tashi Station for power converters. Pretty cool.
There's so many great ones to choose from. Yeah. A part of me wants to say the great speech on the Death Star 2 where he says, I am a Jedi like my father before me, and gives a little head nod as though Palpatine maybe doesn't remember who Luke Skywalker's father is. He needs a little head nod. You know, that guy who's lying down there missing a hand. That father.
Fisto?
No, that was not my father. Yeah, but you know, for me, if we're going to go older Luke Skywalker moment, man, every word you just said is wrong. Mm. The rebellion is reborn today. The war is just beginning, and I will not be the last Jedi. Mm-hmm. I get chills every time I see that, hear that, think about it. Because to me, exactly what you're saying, I think Last Jedi challenged our ideas mm-hmm. in order to reaffirm them. And that, to me, just feels like Luke Skywalker reaching through the screen and saying, you are validated in the thousands of dollars you've spent on action figures of me. It is right. You should believe in me. Yeah. I want the legacy to continue. Please buy more action figures of me, which I'm going to do tomorrow.
We already have started that journey at Star Wars Celebration.
And
absolutely.
It will continue. Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about another Skywalker. I want to know your favorite Anakin Skywalker moment. And I do mean Anakin Skywalker.
You mean Anakin.
I do not mean Darth Vader. And I also don't mean Anakin kind of losing his stuff. I want a good, noble Anakin right. Skywalker moment.
All right. It is what I think connects to the core, and we might, you know, have a little conversation about Shmi, but my favorite Anakin moment is him deciding to help Qui-Gon and enter the pod race. I've just been rereading the Phantom Menace novel by Terry Brooks, and it starts with his crash and you know, crashing the pod race and the pod racers destroyed and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, he knows the risk, he knows the damage. And I think on the Death Star and Return of the Jedi, that moment connects back to Phantom Menace Anakin because the prodigal son returns often and it's your what's deep inside. And I think when he tells his mom, you know, like, you know, you say the big problem with the world is, you know, people don't want to help each other. That's noble.
Yeah.
Seven-year-old kid in story, you know, nine in story, seven as an actor. That was, to me, a great moment.
So you feel he hit his nobility height at nine.
And even right after that, when he shoots Mace, that look at the Jedi. What
for
did you
podcast
see?
Listeners, Ken made a very funny face. Please believe it.
You know, when Mace is child, what do you see? I see a ship, a cup of ship, speeder.
Asshole. What do you see?
Yeah. What do you see?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little cold. I'm from a desert planet.
Yeah.
Get off my back. Give
you
me a
cold.
Sweater, you cold bastards.
Yeah. It's like the force that a crew going to Chicago. And they're like, come on.
Yeah, I think there are probably many I could pick out in the Clone Wars animated series, but I do appreciate in the beginning of Revenge of the Sith how much we do get to see that bit of the real noble Anakin who knows that maybe he's wrestling with some things, but he's trying so hard to be a good person who's there for others.
Yeah.
So, strangely, when I think of the most noble moment for Anakin Skywalker, it's when he is carrying Obi-Wan Kenobi slung over his shoulder,
right.
And he's not going to let Obi-Wan go.
I think that's a great moment because when he tells, you know, Palpatine, his fate will be the same as ours. Like,
yeah,
you know, Palpatine's got to know. All right, he's got that in him still. And then Palpatine's always aware.
Yeah, yeah,
I love that moment.
It's a beautiful moment and just full of Obi-Wan Kenobi butt. So what could be wrong with that? talk about Leia. So she has the heritage of the of Padme, obviously, and then I think the Organas raised her very much in the spirit that Padme would have wanted, and in some of the traditions. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we really see her that way. Mm-hmm. But what Skywalker traits do you see or like in Leia?
Look, you know, we especially see it Anakin even in the Clone Wars when you get to spend more time with that character. She, Anakin, has got that sense of humor. He's a little, you know, snippy, ironically, and snarky. Looking at you, Darina, and I think some of her humor, getting the garbage chute flyboy, is kind of an Anakin line to me. You know, like other than you know Kylo yelling traitor and Anakin yelling traitor, that connection too. But I think that I see that in her. The action, the getting into action. She's not afraid to do things. Yes, but I think you know she's funny. And just like, you know, Governor Tarkin, you know, smelled your foul stench when I was brought on board. Like I think Anakin would have said that at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that nobility. But I think every once in a while, I do almost hear a little bit of Anakin's anger in her.
Yes.
You know, and obviously the Star Wars story is like too much anger. That's the whole dark side murdering people. Not good. But, you know, in the real world, anger is a normal, healthy emotion. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, like her line yelling at Han in Empire Strikes Back of that, I am not a committee. I can hear Hayden Christensen delivering that line of saying, I am not a committee.
I am not a committee.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like seeing that connection between the two of them. Let's talk about Ben Solo / Kylo Ren. Do you think of him as more of a Skywalker or Solo? When you're just sitting around in your underwear thinking about Ben Solo.
That's going to be tonight.
I'm glad we're sharing a hotel room, my friend. Yeah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
think of him as, but seriously, do you think of him as more of a Solo or a Skywalker? The movies have kind of really put forward the he's Han's son and really played up that.
I think there's some there. The running away from who you might be is definitely Han. I think a lot of Leia in there too. But like, I really do think it's positioned to be a lot of his grandfather in him, and that's true. I mean, you know, my grandfather just passed recently, and I could tell you up until the end he was stubborn and I go, oh, that's where I get it. You know, that's where I get it. So I do think of him a little more of a Skywalker.
Yeah, okay. I obviously love the fact that he likes to spin his ship. I think that was a lovely detail.
Oh, yes.
That was put into The Last Jedi that he likes to spin. I think I like the focus of him as a Solo because it does bring like Han into the fold. And like you're saying, there's so much great emotional canon of the, well, maybe I want to be here. No, I don't. Maybe I don't want to be here. But I feel like, to me, it's like one of the most Skywalker traits to him is just that he is conflicted. And like that's practically how we get introduced to the character, that he is all about that conflict and that idea, that great twist that he is being pulled to the light and feel like, whichever Skywalker you get, they're always going to be like, ah, man,
that's
I'm being pulled somewhere.
That's what I love about the throne room scene in Jedi. That is Kylo Ben making a choice. Of that pool. So, yeah, I think that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, we might see this next question answered immediately in the Episode 9 trailer. Do you think Ben should get his hand cut off in deference to family tradition?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the trailer should start that way. Oh, just like that's it. Fade in. Yeah, that'd be good.
Do you have any vision of how you might want it to happen? Do you want it to just be an accident?
Yeah. I want it to be like a force haunting from Luke and Anakin. No, I think in Rey take it off is interesting. You know, battle, but maybe there's some parallels. You know, I'm still believing it's so weird. We're recording this, and hours from now we'll maybe have a hint of things that's blowing my mind. I still see a final confrontation between him and Rey, and I could see him losing a limb.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Part of the fun of Star Wars, right?
Yeah, yeah. I have a slightly deeper question than limb cutting off. So, however Anakin was created, obviously it's been floated out there, and there's like a non-canon stuff that books that play with it more, but we don't truly know exactly how Anakin was created, just implied.
Yep.
Do you think that Shmi was random, or do you think Shmi was chosen to become pregnant with the Chosen One?
The Chosen One? Depends on how much the Force had to say in it.
The Force always seems to have a lot to say. Never really clear on their will, but...
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I love the idea of Palpatine and even Plagueis having something to do with it. The comic, so funny when everyone jumped on that and Lucasfilm people had to say it wasn't what the intention was. It was, still up in the air. I don't think they would have chosen Shmi. Palpatine or Plagueis would have been like looking through a Rolodex. Who did you date in high school on Naboo? So I think the Force had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. Yeah, because if it is, you're right. They're not. I think if it is a random thing, obviously, if it is Plagueis and Palpatine, they'd be like a little bummed that they got such an incredibly wonderful person. Like that's what was interesting to me about talking about this is we don't talk about Shmi as much, you know, especially like as a Skywalker, but I just rewatched Phantom Menace with my wife, and Shmi is just so great. Like Shmi is holding on to like some of, I think, Lucas's deepest ideas about what Star Wars is, and about how you have to be willing to let things go to find any level of peace, and to see that Shmi is like a very proactive person who has plans and opinions and ideas, but also is like, and also you should just let go, and like this very, very peaceful, loving version of strength, which comes across to me in the movie.
You're preaching some gospel there. Lucas warns of attachment and all those things. We see what that happens. I think one of the strongest hero moments in Star Wars is a mother knowing that she has to let her kid walk away for the greater good. That's so tough. And also, by the way, the Jedi going around gathering kids at three. We should, that's, come on. Wait till they graduate high school or something. But, you know, like, I think that moment, it got me in the trailer when I was, you know, watching it in 99. You know, what does your heart tell you? Like, oh, my God. And we know what happens. And going back and looking at Phantom Menace, especially 20 years later, I think there's so much to the character of Shmi that we don't talk about.
Yeah, yeah. So I have one more Shmi question.
Yay!
Since every other Skywalker is in it, should Shmi be added to Battlefront?
Yes. 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 But like it's like, is it like a mission or what's her? If she's a character, she's got to have special powers.
She fights in Heroes versus Villains for sure.
She tinkers.
She has special abilities for sure.
She tinkers. She makes you sit down for dinner.
Yeah. I think maybe she's got like a calming gesture where she can walk up to people and she's like, really, just calm down. You know, you can't stop the change.
You can't stop the change.
Yeah.
That's the moment.
Yeah. She would also have a satchel of mushrooms that she picked from the moisture evaporators.
Oh, that's right.
And she would throw them with deadly accuracy and murder people with mushrooms.
Can we just have in the background Jack Thompson? I'm Clegg Lars. That's all he says.
Yeah, that would be so
Shmi's
great.
Shmi's my wife. Good for her. Yeah.
If you played as Shmi, but he was a sort of like escort character who was always just riding around.
Yes.
Good job. Nice throw, honey.
The time I found her was too late. Try harder.
30 of us went out. 4 of us came back. Have I told you this story before? I got it down, Pat.
Shut up, Clegg.
All right, here is my final question in our Skywalker celebration.
Mm-hmm.
If Rey were to be given the name of Skywalker, either offered it by Luke or Leia in some way, or just decided to kind of adopt it, take the mantle. It's such a theme in Star Wars of found family. What to you would the name mean? If it is that this is the tale of the Skywalkers, Kylo Ren has the blood, but Rey has truly adopted the mantle of what is best about all the Skywalkers. What would that mean to you?
Star Wars Episode 9, what if we were the Skywalkers we were along the way? Like, what if something weird like that? I love the idea. It's not necessarily my favorite idea. My favorite idea is Rey is no one. But I you know, whether or not something gets added to that, I'm fine with seeing where they go.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking about blood. I'm just saying just in name.
But in terms of we call the adopting the name thing, I love that idea if they play it out right. I love it. It would be weird. I get it would be weird. We're focusing on Kylo. We're focusing on the blood and the legacy. But I like the idea of, you know, in a way, it's like, you earned it.
Yeah.
Old, you know, emo over there didn't. And I love Kylo's like my favorite sequel Eric character. But like, yeah, I want there to be a loss for him on a lot of levels, whether or not he's redeemed or not, or does something at a final act that makes him save some people. I want him. The cost could be even this legacy.
Yeah.
And I think she would earn it if that's the way they go.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll go it that way.
I don't know. Yeah.
Again, we might by the time we release this episode. And I'm also, I'm going to take our own advice and speculate responsibly. And if they don't do that,
I will
not be upset. But I do really like the idea that there's so much in Star Wars that is about destiny. This is just going to happen. But you always, on the other side, have choice. And you always have your choice of how you respond to destiny. So to me, it's so cool that like, Kylo could be the destiny side of Skywalker. He's got the blood. He's going to have to decide how to use his force powers. And then you would have Rey, who just symbolizes the choice. I'm going to choose to take the Skywalker name. I'm going to have to choose what the Skywalker name means to me.
I love that. The idea that the choice to be better is something that's key to Luke.
Yeah.
And that even he has to remind himself constantly, you know. And I think that her choice to go that way would be interesting. If they do it right, if they do it that way, I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'm going to
close with one more question to you.
Yeah.
So, Skywalker just is a name. You forget the blood. You forget the inherent ability to control and use the Force. Mm. What does just the name mean after all of these people have used it?
It means a complicated center of the saga.
you're describing them like a candy bar.
It is. Juicy nougat Skywalkers. It is the Skywalkers are the driving force both ways, good and bad. And it's going to be sad to see them go, but I'm ready for new things. But I think they are the center of the galaxy for
That's
a
great.
Reason.
The center of the galaxy. Yeah. Nobility, strength, choice, chewy nugget.
Chewy
the Skywalkers. All right, so that is our main topic. And, you are going to take over.
I'm going to take over as we get our guest over. We're going to do, though, what we always do, which is a Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out. And actually, what is our choice for the day, Joseph?
It is Master and Apprentice by Claudia Gray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big applause for Claudia Gray.
Yeah.
I've not had the chance to dive in yet. You have?
Yeah, if you like the Force and the Destiny and the Jedi, oh, you're in for a treat. So I say people should go listen to that.
Absolutely. And to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. And now we're going to bring our special guest up right now to get into a new segment. Please welcome to the show, our live audience, Dorina Arellano. Hey. Dorina. How are you?
Good. You never roll your R's properly.
I'm learning. You're teaching me. Dorina.
Dorina.
Dorina Arellano.
Dorina.
Good job, Joseph.
I'm trying.
You got it.
Yeah. How's it going, guys?
It's good. How are you? Welcome to Force Center. This is your Force Center debut.
I think so. Yeah. I've known these guys for a while, and I've been on other shows with them, but never on this one. I'm replacing the lovely, can't replace Jennifer because she's awesome. But no, I'm super excited to be here in Chicago and Star Wars Celebration. This is like my fourth or fifth one.
Yeah.
And excited to be with you guys.
You're like a connective glue to a lot of nerd friends. There's a lot of people who we now know because of you. They now know us because of you. But you're a nerd.
I am the nerd glue.
You're a nerd. You're a nerd true and true, right? Right.
I know all the nerds.
You know all the nerds. Doesn't want to identify as nerds. Yeah. All right, so we got a couple segments here, and we got, right now we're going to do a mini Star Wars Ranked, which is one of the shows we have on the feed. Hope a lot of you enjoy it. I'm choking on my blue milk.
I shall rank that as the best.
Yeah. I should do it like a thalassiar and green milk. Still, one of my favorite scenes that I argue with people over. You're missing the depth in that moment. We're going to do a Star Wars rank. We each have three topics. As we often do on Star Wars rank, we have a topic. We have things to support that topic. Get it, got it, good. Here we go. Today's topic, follow along, is favorite background quotes. Now, this means, as often as we do on Star Wars ranked, there's a reason, but there's a meaning, but there's also like a floaty little way. There's quotes that we know in Star Wars that are big and famous, and may the Force be with you, and P-Yosa. No, that one. There's a lot of big, famous quotes, right? We all know them. We all have our favorite ones. But we love, if you're a Star Wars fan, like on a certain level, that playground story I'm talking about, you connect over sometimes the silliest little quotes, and you use them in your normal conversations, use them all the time. So we each have three on our list. We'll go... we'll start with Joseph with your number three, and we'll dive into our Star Wars ranked favorite background quotes.
Okay, so this is my first one, and it is literally kind of a background. I know not all of them are going to be
some of them are going to be literally
background. Yeah, but this one's kind of literally background. And to me, in some ways, it is the original background line. It's, some of the other guys were telling me about it. They say it's quite a thing to see. This is, of course, when Obi-Wan is turning off the controls for the tractor beam, and this is our first really glimpse into Stormtroopers.
Are you making this up?
No. No, this is a great thing about it, because if you're really...
Does anyone remember this?
Yeah, we got people who remember it. Yeah.
This is the great thing about it. If you're invested in the scene, if you're just like, is Obi-Wan going to get caught? Is he going to be able to turn it off? Is it all going to work out? You don't really notice that
these guys working
crappy day jobs are just like talking about the new equipment. It's like if you're... I used to work at Kinko's, and it's like somebody going like, do you see the Docutech 135? Yeah. It's like, 55 copies a minute. Yeah. It's like,
I love it.
Quite a thing to see. It's just... It's so mundane and like... A new
it's like
hope.
The Death Star Pep Boys or something.
Like yes, exactly. It's exactly.
Exactly. So that's my number.
I love the one because now it's what do they say? T-14s and T-15s, right?
T-16s.
T-16s. So
and
now
it all through Rogue One and Solo.
Yeah, and David Collins and Sam Witwer. Now I think they're it's a running bit that they kind of work on together. So I love that. I love running jokes, and yeah. I love traditions, and I love, you know, one of my favorite things in Rogue One is that stormtrooper with his hands on his knees, just kind of like, when's my shift in?
Yeah. That's a guy who could use to see a T-16 and have his day brightened a little bit.
Yeah, I absolutely love that.
It's also one that you can work into your day-to-day life. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's quite a thing to see.
It's quite a thing to see. Darina, we're going to go with your number three.
So this is actually from my favorite Star Wars movie, which is really easy. It's Empire, obviously.
Okay.
But thank you, that one guy.
It doesn't have a lot of fans,
no,
Empire.
No. So it's when Leia is doing her whole spiel before the Battle of Hoth. And there's that one guy that's like my favorite actor in all of Star Wars saga that delivers the line the most monotone way. And he just basically says, two fighters against a Star Destroyer? And it's so lame, and I love it. It's like my favorite thing.
That is Derek Hobby Clivian.
Correct.
Is the fighter.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's how you say it, because I was like, Hobby?
Yeah.
Hobby.
Okay. He's maybe very sleepy that day.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, do you mean we have to go to war right now? I just took a nap. This is the time for I just had second breakfast with the hobbits over there. Yeah.
It's so lackadaisical, but there's a lot of force behind it. Just two fighters against a Star Destroyer. Like, he's bored, but this doesn't sound good.
Yeah. It's like he goes to the Mean Girls school with Regina George. He's like, how dare you?
And I love that Leia's just like, I got no time for you. Yeah. Get out there.
Yeah, like,
if
you would let me finish, I was about to tell you the rest of the plan.
But that's what
Hobby.
I love about it, because she doesn't even acknowledge him. She just looks at him and she's like, I'm going to ignore you and explain why this is a good idea. Shut up and do your job.
I do not know who portrayed Hobby, but I that guy is just, I got my lines, and he's just like waiting, like two fighters against the Star Destroyer. Yeah.
He's like, I got my audition for Doctor Who in 20 minutes. Yeah. Can you let me go?
Yeah, that's great. I love that. That's an excellent choice. Perfect for this list. My number three is probably the thing that started this list. Joseph and I were talking about doing this list for a while. We thought this would be a perfect place to do it. It comes from a little film called Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, after Jyn Erso gives her passionate appeal to Mon Mothma and everyone. You guys know it.
What is she proposing? Were you not listening to what the lady was saying to your bosses? Just imagine doing that in a conference call. Imagine doing that at like a business meeting. Your boss is like, all right, we need to go down doing it. What is he proposing?
I love it. That is my moment.
We don't see the person, so they could have come in late, maybe. Just run in. I'm sorry I'm late.
What is she proposing?
Yeah. I love that in the Rogue One novelization, they established that meeting has been going on for hours.
Hours.
That's so that guy's been listening this whole time. She's like laying out this whole plan.
It was like me at business meetings at Collider when I worked there. I was like, are we shooting what? I don't.
That's literally every time I'm on before Jedi Council. Yeah, you're just not paying attention at all. God damn it, Ken.
Two commentators against the whole internet?
That's a shirt. We need to. Brian, make that shirt. All right, that is my number three. Joseph, we'll go with your number two.
My number two is from a film called The Phantom Menace. And it is a greeting that I heard many, many times watching The Phantom Menace, and it never stuck with me until recently and has become a favorite. And it's, hello, boyos! It's a Jar Jar line. And he turns around and he sees the collection of astromech droids, and I don't think he ever calls anyone else boyos.
No.
I don't know if that's the Gungan word for droids or if there's just something about them that just brought out the, hello, boyos. It's just, it's so friendly. It's so open. It's so great.
I want to see how you spelled it. B-O-Y-O-S.
Boy with an O and S.
Boyos.
Okay, I'm going to call you guys that from now on. Every time I see you, I'm going to be like, what's up, boyos?
Yeah, absolutely. That's
it's
really
so nice.
If you could do a full, hello, boyos, that would be great.
Can I do it in Spanish?
Yeah, please.
Hola, boyos. Yeah.
Perfect. 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 That's a great number two. Perfect as well. And can be used in conversation at parties and everywhere.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Darina, what is your number two?
So mine, this isn't so much background as it's my favorite quote from all of the prequels, because as some of you know, I'm not a huge fan of the prequels, so I try to look at the positive sides of it. And it's in Attack of the Clones, when Obi-Wan is being sold some death sticks. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite, and it's just the delivery of it. You know, like where? Well, how do you say his name? It's Elan Celsabagno. I don't know.
Elan
Celsabagno. I just read everything in Spanish. I apologize.
No, but it's
it's Celsabagno. This Celsabagno thing was somebody coming through and going like, I can't.
So
accept.
How do you actually say Elan? I just read it.
Elan Celsabagno, and this this trying to make it different. It's Celsabagno. George Lucas made a choice.
Yeah,
this man's name is Celsabagno. He has to live with that.
So we're retconning the cell.
Yeah.
The S-E-L part. Okay. Yeah. So, I just love the delivery of it, where he's just like, hey, you want to buy some dead sticks? Because, how do you say no to that? Because, first of all, if somebody's asking me that, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what those are, but I'm intrigued, so yeah. If I'm a Jedi, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, you're tricking me. I'm going to be like, wait, tell me more about these dead sticks.
Well, it's because you're a goth. So you're like... My favorite thing in stick form?
Yeah, exactly.
So this is less about you liking the line and you really want some death sticks.
Yeah, well, what? I want to know what they are. What are they?
We'll find some, okay. I'm sure.
I just love the picture of you watching that film and just being like, yes, me.
Yeah.
I want the death
Do you think they have a merch booth at Celebration that sells those?
Oh, have they not marketed that? They need those George Lucas flannels they finally released in death sticks. Do they have some?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
it's like the corner goth booth.
Yeah. That's a great choice, number two, and perfect. It's one of those little things. My number two comes from The Last Jedi on Canto Bite. I love Finn. I love John Boyega. I think John Boyega's joy for being in Star Wars just emanates off the screen. And one of my favorite moments is in the end of the Fa'Thir sequence, which I admit is actually not one of my favorite sequences in the movie, but I just love the end of the chase. I love the Fa'Thirs, but when they're heading back towards their ship and then the police... Canto Bite blow it up, and he just goes, oh, come on! Like, it's just like, of all the crazy things that happen to Star Wars characters in the movies, like, he's the first to be like, no! We were gonna get out of the trouble there!
It should have been Anakin's response to having his limbs cut off by Obi-Wan.
Oh, come on! I hate you! I was about to do something with those limbs!
Come on, boyos.
Perfect. Come on, boyos. Want to buy some dish?
All right. So that is my number two, which will go to my number one. So I can end with the guests' number one.
All right.
My number one comes from Return of the Jedi, and it's from Luke Skywalker, so I think it's a known line, but I have used it the most in my life, particularly with some friends. One particular moment stands out, and that is as Jabba's had it with all these, you've killed my pet Rancor, Malak Keely's crying, they're taking him off, and just Luke saying, that's the last mistake you'll ever make. It's just so like, what are you like? And then he goes and just kicks everyone's ass by himself. I love it. In high school, there was the greatest Star Wars nerd moment. Me and my good friend Mark Hoxett, big Star Wars fan at the time, and we're going two separate ways after the end of lunch, and there's a crowd of students, and he's kind of being pushed this way, and I'm kind of being pushed this way, and we just make eye contact, and he just goes, that's the last mistake you'll ever make. I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. And that's what Star Wars does. It just takes it over. So that's my number one.
I love that because it is just like the spirit of the Jedi way of like, I've warned you five times.
I've given you every answer.
Now, death.
Death.
For it's all. Also after the saddest moment in Star Wars, personally for me, because I was very sad when the Rancor died. Weren't you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how... Ula, yeah, but I mean, just like, Malak Keely sells it, man. Those tears.
Yeah.
Those tears.
Yeah.
Which looks like me with a towel on my head after a shower. It's no more...
Why do showers make you weep? I hate being clean.
It's because
too many mirrors in the bathroom.
Yeah. And thinking about Ben Solo.
Yeah. Joseph, we'll go with your number one, so we'll close with Dorina.
Is it okay if I share a runner-up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I totally forgot. We got some runner-ups. Go for it.
One of my runners-up is from General Grievous when he says, I'm going to take you to a volcanic planet. You'll be safe there.
just
very cool. Like, yes, and the response is safe. It's so, so great. Yeah. General Grievous really doesn't get how dangerous things are. Another runner up is the Palpatine line of
I have waited a long time for this moment, my little green friend. I'm working on my insults. Little green friend isn't very good. I mean, it's mostly just passive-aggressive, really. I mean, it's basically a description of you, and clearly we are not friends, so there's a level of irony, but...
I just have a...
if I was you, I'd be like, what do you got against green people, David?
Come on.
I just like the image of that one point Chancellor Palpatine and Master Yoda had, like, a nice lunch at the Coruscant cafeteria. Like, our friends I thought we were. Like, it was a good lunch.
They used to be friends. Oh, so those are my runners up. Yeah. But I had to go with, for my number one, let's throw our weight at those Star Destroyers and start probing that shield.
Yes. Because Star Wars should always be a little sexual.
Stay on target. They came from behind. Yeah, we know. but it's such a great line because I love Raddus. I know Raddus is a huge favorite for you, Ken. But I love Raddus because he is so proactive, and this line is proactive. Like, yeah, let's get it. And when he starts, like, let's throw our weight at those Star Destroyers. You're like, yeah, you're a badass. You're the best ever. Do what to the shields?
Yeah.
And the sentence takes this fascinating turn. I don't even know what that means, sort of tactically. Like, Raddus, what does that mean?
Just blink.
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 No, it's still there.
It's still there.
I guess shoot the shield, maybe.
Maybe. We're switching to warp drive. Paul will switch it back. I like that maybe like Blue Squadron. That's what they thought when the two guys crashed into it. He said probing.
Softer probing.
Man.
I love that.
Yeah.
Great choice.
So good.
Dorina.
So mine is also Palpatine, as he was mentioned earlier, from Revenge of the Sith. It's actually a really big moment when Anakin kills Dooku. And he's kind of, you know, Anakin's like, that's not the Jedi way. Like, what did I just do? And I'm like, you idiot, you just killed someone, right? But Palpatine just very nonchalantly says, oh, it is only natural. He cut off your arm and you wanted revenge. As if, like, Anakin's supposed to be fine. Like, if I'm Anakin, I'm like, oh, you're right. It's cool, man. It's so weird. Yeah. But he also says it as we're like, oh, it's fine, dude.
Yeah,
like, that's like, he doesn't even say it in, like, the mean Palpatine scary voice. It's just like, oh, he just cut off your arm, dude. It's fine.
Yeah, he was like, it's Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
You cut off his head. It's Taco Tuesday. It happens.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I love that in that moment, too, Dooku's silent look is like, oh, come on. Love that. Great choice. Did you have any runner-ups, Dorina?
Sort of a runner-up, but Phantom Menace, when Anakin asks Qui-Gon, when he's like, I've been wondering, what are midichlorians? Because, yeah, I know, all of the, that's what got you guys to do the grunt, right? No, because, it's funny because we were all wondering, right? And he's asking this, and then after Qui-Gon explains that, he just goes, I don't understand. And I feel like that was the entire audience, right?
Yeah.
Because we're why did this just happen? We're super confused as fans.
The delivery of that does make it feel like you're going to like hear the flicker of like an old-time projection screen, and you're going to get it. So, what are midichlorians? You're old enough to know now, and it's a touchy subject.
Yeah, it's like Captain America's going to show up, you know, in front of the commercial.
Qui-Gon's
like,
going to turn that chair around backwards and sit down.
That's awesome.
Explain
that's
the midichlorians.
That's great runner-up. My runner-ups. There's so many to choose from, but I do like going back to Raddus. it's a good moment, but I love the hammerhead Corvette line because he's just like in the middle of war.
I have an idea.
Like, it's just like he's on it there so much, and I love Palpatine in Return of the Jedi, but also in Revenge of the Sith. Lucas has some Star Wars poetry, and it's his character that he loves saying, leave us, to, like, the people around him. And, like, the guards, leave us. It's Sly Moore, leave us. Okay, they're just so used to Palpatine, just like, get out. Can we have the room? I love that, too.
I also, because I'm obviously have a dirty mind, I love when they say, there's an awful lot of moisture in there.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah. See, everyone likes it.
You came in that thing. You're braver than I thought. We get it. Leia. Yeah. No, that's great.
You want this, don't you?
The unintended ones are even better.
Yeah.
All right, that is Star Wars Rank for this main show. We're going to move on to Star Wars Counseling with the one and only Joseph Scrimshaw.
Oh, thank you, thank you. So for people listening, we had the live audience fill out forms. We got some names, we got some grievances, we got some more flying at the table. So we went through these quickly before the show, and there are a bunch of great ones. So we'll try to get to some of these on other episodes of Star Wars Counseling, but we're just going to do a few here tonight. If people are not familiar with Star Wars Counseling, we ask for grievances, things about Star Wars that you wonder about or maybe bother you, and then we try to think through different ways to think about them, or maybe there's a canon answer, and the whole goal is to just try to feel better about parts of Star Wars that bother us. Let the light side in.
Let the light side in.
Yeah.
It's calling to you.
Yeah. Oh, I was waiting to see if Dorina was going to say anything.
I'm rejecting it already.
All right. How do you feel about this, Dorina? So you have a stage persona of being snarky.
Wait, we're talking about feelings?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about feelings.
Siths don't have feelings, Joseph.
Yeah, your death sticks have killed your feelings.
Exactly.
All right. How do you feel about joining us for this? Do you feel like you can make people feel better?
Let's try.
Okay. All right. Our first question comes from Nathan. Does Nathan want to identify which Nathan? There's Nathan. Hello,
that.
Nathan.
Got a Cardinals jersey. And he speculates responsibly, Joseph.
Yeah.
He's
oh,
good.
That's great. That's great. Nathan says, at the end of Last Jedi, the entire resistance is in the Falcon, the ship it took Han 0.02 parsecs to find. Shouldn't they all be screwed? ? This is a great little like logic thing, because in The Force Awakens, I believe this is what Nathan is referring to, is that the Ravana is like constantly scanning for the Falcon. So is there anyone else out there just like, hey, yeah, I can do that. I'll just constantly scan for the Falcon and kill the good guys.
And they're very aware of the ship, right?
Yeah.
First order, so.
Yeah, so how are you feeling about that?
I think it's a great question. I immediately go to Han walking into Maz's castle, kind of, I forget the exact quote. I as you know, if you watch the Schmodown, really bad at quotes. But he kind of says, like, you know, your tracking signature was on, or like Chewie and I found you easily. So I think, you know, maybe they're just an off switch that they found after that and turned it off. But the ship is very well known, so they should be concerned.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Dorina, do you have any thoughts about why other people aren't detecting the Falcon?
I mean, I don't know. If I was one of those, if I was like inside the Falcon, I would just do the thing where like they hit it, you know, to make it work.
Yeah.
Right.
So I feel like that if that's the logic that they use in Star Wars, then anything goes. Really? So
the Falcon is narrative powered, is
correct.
What you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. Yeah. I like
it's
the
like a VHS tape or like the Nintendo
blowing on the cartridge.
Yeah, exactly. If that works. And it does work. For, like, the old people and us, that did work. Yeah, they know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's not going too far to say that there might actually be a cartridge system in the Falcon.
Exactly.
That Han installed so that if anybody ever steals it from him, which happened, that he can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he did get it back, he realized, okay, well, other people might pick up on this signal. And he took the cartridge out and he blew on it, which turns it off.
Right. Right.
Blew on the cartridge, put it back in.
Also, the Empire's not that smart. Because if you think about it, I mean, first of all, there's, what, like three Death Stars, right? So they keep doing the same stupid plan, right? And then Stormtroopers, horrible at targets.
Yeah. First Order's getting better.
First Order's got a really good record on tracking things, though. Wow. Yeah. They're doing pretty well with that.
Yeah,
but I like the idea that whatever would have allowed that is that something that Han was like, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that right away, right now. Or maybe it will be the plot of Episode 9.
Yeah.
You might have discovered it here.
I like that. Seriously, I like the idea. When you break it down to Han is home, Han is like, you didn't know your like find me button was on? Like, let me get that. That's part of Han coming back.
Yeah, like the Falcon's like an Apple phone. the find my Falcon feature.
Got your found the turn it off.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I like that a lot. And I like the idea that, yeah, maybe other people could track it, but Han and Chewie were doing something special because, like, not only are we going around the galaxy, you know, doing our business smuggling, but we want to find our damn ship. And, like, every sensor on that big, ugly ship of theirs is just looking for the Falcon.
Yeah.
Did that make you feel better, Nathan? Excellent. We're good. Says Nathan.
Like
a round of applause for Nathan.
We're good. Thank you, Nathan. Love that hat, Nathan.
It's a good one. We're going to move to a different one. This one is from David. Is David here? Hello, David. I asked David for a grievance, and he said, none! Exclamation point.
Oh, that's that, David? Oh.
Yay.
Good job, David.
Thanks for playing, David.
From the Canon Cantina.
So there's nothing that you don't like about Star Wars?
The whole point is to make people feel positive, and Dreena's like, let me rip open your wounds. I'll find
something. Talk to me after. No, I'm kidding.
The next one we're going to do is from another. This is from David T. There's our David.
That's
hello.
The David, okay.
David with the awesome young Han Solo jacket. Okay, David asks, did Dexter Jetster still keep in touch with Obi-Wan after his relocation to Tatooine? Not only a great question, but so sensitively and touchingly written, his relocation.
Yeah.
like Obi-Wan was just like, prices are getting a little high on Coruscant. I need to go somewhere where real estate's more manageable. I'll relocate to Tatooine.
Yeah. I love Dexter Jetster. And I think Alex Backus from Black Series Rebels is downstairs. He hates Dexter Jetster, but I love Dexter. Because of the real life relationship and that Obi-Wan and would go hang out at a diner every day and find a friend. So I think Obi-Wan probably didn't talk to anybody, but at one point sent out like a coded message to Dexter. It was like, in Tatooine, stuck here, good bars? Like, question mark? Like, oh, let me tell you about Chalmers Cantina.
They got the best death sticks in town.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Well, I'll just ask you how you feel about Dexter Jetster.
He's all right.
He's got a sweet mustache. Of all Star Wars mustaches, he's got one.
His mustache is so powerful, it'll make his pants fall down somehow. It's amazing.
I mean, I like where he works. Like, that place is pretty cool.
Dex's Diner? Dex's
Diner. I mean, if I was, Ben, if I was old Ben, I'd be like, I might go visit just the location, right?
Yeah, you might risk going into Coruscant, into the heart of the Empire to go to Dex's Diner.
Totally. Just to see Dexter. No, probably not.
Yeah. Do you feel like there was any...
No, I would just stay in Tatooine because I want to hide from people. I get that's why Obi-Wan and I are like this, because he doesn't like people, so he just hides. Yeah.
So do you think Dexter would reach out to Obi-Wan?
I mean, I wouldn't. I feel like, because here's the thing, like I feel like most people that live on Coruscant may not be huge fans of the Jedi in general, right? Because like, you might like the fact that they're protecting the universe, but they're kind of dicks too, right? Like they're like very self-important dicks. So if I'm Dexter, I'm like, oh, here's another Jedi coming in. I got to act like, like they're a celebrity or whatever, right?
They don't know the difference between darts and everything.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that hug that Dexter offered Obi-Wan was sincere.
Well, yeah, because Obi-Wan's the cool Jedi.
Yeah,
but how
is.
Many Jedis are cool other than like a couple?
That's a much longer conversation.
Just saying.
We'll have you back for an entire episode of Force Center. Which Jedi are cool?
Yeah. Like,
Yarl Poof walks in and Dexter's like, you get out, Yarl! You know what you did.
He's got a bunch of wind chimes hanging, so Yarl Poof's head hits him.
Ding, 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 WA7's like, Yarl's here!
I don't give a damn,
says Dexter. I like this idea. The way that David phrased it is not whether Obi-Wan would risk his vital mission of protecting Luke Skywalker to go to Coruscant for some Jawa juice, but rather the other way around, if Dexter would try to keep in touch with Obi-Wan. And I, just in my own headcanon, I love the idea because Dexter Jetster clearly knows what's going on. Like, he knows more. He's got street smarts, right? And all of Coruscant is made of streets, so he's very smart. So I think that he would figure out, the Empire can't find Obi-Wan, but Obi's told me stories about all the places he's been, all the things he's done. Where would he go? What would he be up to?
Right.
I noticed that Padme woman was pregnant. I'm pretty sure she was hooking up with Anakin. What happened to Anakin? I think Dexter is smart enough to figure out the plot of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I think that he would come and he would visit Obi-Wan. And I think that it's eventually going to be a canon story of Luke's going to find a journal from Obi-Wan and it's just like, my dinner with Dexter. Where Dexter comes to visit Obi-Wan. And
holy
it's going to be beautiful.
Joseph. I think you just solved the thing. That Dexter is actually Snoke.
That's it.
He's been put on a rack and
holy
stretched
crap.
Out. Yeah. Yeah. David, does that make you feel better? Yay! Round of applause for David. Drina, this grievance is it's a little bit different because it's not really internal to the world of Star Wars, but something that the creator said about Star Wars, which we can apply to the world. This comes from Crystal. Is Crystal? Hello, Crystal.
Crystal's there.
Crystal says, why are there no bras in space?
Why are you asking me and not Ken?
Come on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've increased my push-ups to 11. 11.
No, no, I'm going to cry when I walk into the shower.
He might, you guys might use them too. There's nothing wrong with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there was nothing that says, why are there no lady bras in space? This is just
exactly.
Bras
that's true.
In
just
general.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
yeah.
True. No underpants around the galaxy at all. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Crystal,
clearly Dexter didn't have any.
I mean, Crystal, I think the answer is that George Lucas was a horny teenager. There's anything wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
Because I get it. I mean, you know, if I was the director of Star Wars, I would be having all the dudes wear, you know, those like tear up pants, you know, like with the Velcro. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I think that's the reason, though. Yeah.
Why do my pants fly off when I bend
yeah.
over?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is in space.
Yeah.
You can't travel. I mean, your pants got to rip off suddenly at all times. Ken, do you have any thoughts on why there are no bras in space, and or do you just want to say something mean back to Drea?
No, it's not. That's not the Jedi way over here, this corner. I am a Jedi like my childhood friend me before me.
What are you going to call me?
Ever make.
Yes.
Should I call you my little green friend?
Yes. I actually think there's some truth to just George not thinking about it, but then we know that there's costumes and all those kind of things, and Carrie Fisher would famously say there's no bras in space, just gaffer's tape. I would like to think that in story that there's something much like the Fulminatrix in Last Jedi creates its own gravity pool, and that's why the mines, the magnetic mines from fall down, the bombs fall down to the ship. I think there's just something at work we don't understand.
There is, I think, gravity pool for breasts?
Yes, there's just everything, you know, men included, held in place.
Instead
just,
of the force push, there's a force push-up.
That's what I'm thinking!
Well, that's why.
Yes!
Leia has been using the Force the entire time.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, you thought The Last Jedi was the first time she used the Force?
Oh. Crystal, do you enjoy this answer?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. Round of applause for Crystal. A very fun question. And here is our final grievance for the episode. Brendan, where's Brendan? Hello, Brendan.
Hello, Brendan.
Brendan says, General Grievous is holding copies of Obi-Wan and Anakin's lightsabers in episode 3. Help me.
Help me.
All right, so do people generally know this reference? Yeah, so in Grievous is like, look at my collection of lightsabers. He's already got the lightsabers that he says he's going to collect. So, Ken, do you have a thought on that?
Look, I drive a champagne beige 2004 Camry. At any given time, I can see 11 of them on the freeway with me. I think there maybe Anakin and Obi-Wan's lightsaber hilts aren't as cool as we thought. That they're just kind of run-of-the-mill issued. Anakin keeps losing the damn things. So they're like, you're not getting some special curved blade. You're getting this, and that it's just some kind of normal model.
Drina, do you have a thought on that?
No, Brendan, you should be pissed.
Again, we're trying to let the light side in. Trying to let the light side in.
No, yeah. I mean, maybe he's also using the Force, right? Maybe he does, you know, because you know he does like all the acrobatic stuff with his arms. Mm-hmm. So like maybe he's just like, you know, messing around with the camera and it's like, F you, the prequels are good or whatever. Yeah.
You are saying... You are saying that General Grievous does close-up magic tricks.
Yes.
And he's like, did you think you had your lightsabers? I have your lightsabers. So suave.
I like that answer better than
It's like every time he coughs, there's a lightsaber that falls off.
Yeah.
General Grievous is a Pez dispenser.
I like the idea that Grievous is so insecure that he went out and he had copies made of Obi-Wan and Anakin's. So then he encounters other Jedi. He's like, look who I beat. And like just tries to pull one on him.
There's one for everyone.
He's pre-made them. Yeah.
Asian Kohler's like, ah!
way.
Sauce 18, all of them.
All of them. Yeah, yeah. Does that make you feel a little bit better, Brendan?
A little better.
Excellent. Cool. A round of applause for Brendan.
Yeah.
And like I said, this is a great pile. So many wonderful grievances, and we'll get to addressing more on future shows.
Yeah, we'll take that sack home. You never know when it might show up.
Yeah, so we are going to move into our final segment for the evening. It is something that's just a little bit different here for the live show, and it is a fun quiz. Now, Ken and I have participated in the Schmodown Star Wars trivia contest.
Yeah.
And that's serious trivia. Right. This is fun comedy trivia. So, Drina,
yes.
Do you feel ready to compete?
No, but shoot.
Excellent. Ken, do you feel ready to compete?
Absolutely.
Ooh, all right. Sudden confidence from Ken Knapsack. Excellent.
You got your force bra?
I'm holding all sorts of things up with the force right now. Straining so much.
It gets harder after 42.
That's the last time you'll ever fall down. All right, so I'm going to ask you some questions. I would like you to buzz in by making a Star Wars noise with your mouth.
Okay.
First question is, do you think Darth Vader has a welcome mat at his castle on Mustafar? And if so, what does it say? All right, Ken, I think I know from your body motion that was a porg. And not that a part of your body dropped.
We'll see after the show.
All right, what is your answer?
Yes, he has a mat on the floor and it says, turn around.
Does it say bright eyes?
Yes.
Turn around.
Total eclipse of the two suns.
Bright eyes.
Nice.
Drina,
nice.
Do you have an answer?
I am one with the sadness, and the sadness is one with me.
Not your high school quote.
God damn.
What would Darth Vader say?
Ken gets 10 points, and because that was so dark and negative, Darina gets negative 50 points.
Yes.
It was so brutal. All right, next question. From the book, The Jedi Master's Quiz Book, written by Rusty Miller in 1982, that's where this question comes from. What happened to Luke Skywalker's land speeder right after he parked it in front of the cantina? If you have an answer, buzz in with a Star Wars noise. A different Star Wars noise.
Wait, read the question.
Different
again.
Star Wars noise?
Oh.
There are other ones.
All right.
There we go. Nice.
The Tatooine police came down, put 6 parking violations on it, and it was eventually blown up. To which Luke would have responded, "Oh, come on!"
Nice, Darina. You must buzz in if you want to share an answer. Great. Was that a lightsaber or a speeder?
Both.
Okay.
It was a lightsaber. It was a light speeder holding a lightsaber. Yeah.
All right. What is your answer?
I mean, I would like to think it's actually one of my favorite vehicles. I love the lightspeeder. It's like my favorite.
Landspeeder, sorry.
It's where they torture the droids because I messed up like that. In Jabba's palace.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where it ended up. And then they just tortured it. Yeah.
They tortured the landspeeder.
Yeah. They turned it into a droid.
EV-99 was like, oh, good.
So dark.
Yeah.
We've been wanting to torture a landspeeder.
We want to torture larger mechanical objects.
A Gamorrean guard comes out like Walter Sobchak. Do not F a stranger in the ass. Just hitting.
So this is the actual answer that Rusty Miller, who I believe was 12 when he wrote this book, wrote. A Jawa scurried up and began fondling it.
That's true.
That is the actual answer.
He wrote that at 12.
That's a really good answer.
But Ken, you get 20 points, and Darina, you get plus 50 points.
Back to that.
Bringing you up to zero.
No. Yes.
All right, next up. This is also from Rusty Miller's book. Who is referred to within A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back as a type of flower? Buzz in if you believe you have an answer.
That guy's wise.
I love that those noises were together, so it sounded like you guys were making some sort of sick beat. But what was your noise, Drina?
Oh, I was trying to do Chewy. I'm just really bad at it.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Can you do it again?
Oh. It's like drunk Chewy. Yeah.
All right. What do you believe the answer is?
Jyn Erso.
In A New Hope in Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, shit. I thought you just meant a character.
No, this was written by Rusty Miller
Damn
in 1982.
It. Okay. See, I am drunk Chewy right now. So it's not just all the movies. It's specifically those the original trilogy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the two that I've
two
listed
first.
Twice clearly.
I didn't think I was supposed to pay attention when you guys invited me to be on this podcast, Joseph.
You're doing great.
I would say a Jawa.
Okay. Is that just because a Jawa was in the previous answer?
No, I didn't know. No, because I love Jawas.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think you find a Jawa to be flower-like?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's got. It looks like the Shy Guy from Nintendo.
Oh yes.
Yeah, it's got the little like face, the round face, and then the hood.
Yeah.
It looks like a flower.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Can you buzzed in with a
yeah.
That guy's wise?
Actually should have been my top favorite background quote. I don't have a joke answer. I have the answer, and it's 3PO Goldenrod.
Oh, nice.
That's the answer.
Nice.
I don't
Very
have a funny
well
one.
Well, that's great. Ken,
I want to win.
Well, too bad. I'm going to give you 100 points for the correct answer. So you're just going to have to get higher and higher. You're up to 130, and for your Shy Guy, I'll give you another 50, so you're up to actual 50, Drina. All right. This is also from Rusty Miller's book. Who did he dedicate the book to?
Houdini.
the flower creature, yes, the Jawa noise. What is your answer?
George Lucas.
That's a really good guess. Ken, would you like to buzz in?
Pretty
good.
Podracer or Dexter having abdominal issues?
We don't know. You've given me my latest copy. In my course of my life, I've owned 3 copies of this book. With Rusty has a great school picture on the back. He's like redheaded 12-year-old, like, I wrote a Star Wars book, which also was going to be on the back cover of my Star Wars book, just me going, a 12-year-old. I think it was his cat or something.
That is very close to the truth. It is to my mom and dad and my dogs, Frodo, Barney, and Putty.
the forgotten dwarf who helped the fellowship.
It's so funny to me.
Putty.
Funnier than any fake answer could be.
Gimli's like, and you have my axe. And Putty's like, and my utensils for dinner. Like, what is
And this? Here, just take Barney. He's a dog. I don't know. Whatever. So I'm giving you both 20 points. So,
Perfect.
Ken, you are up to 150 points. Darina, okay. You are at 70 points, but we are going to move on to the second and final part of our quiz.
I want a recount.
Okay. I'm still correct. We're going to move on to the final part of our quiz, which is lose it all. Now, you guys did jokey answers. The entire goal here is to have the most incorrect answer and lose all the points that you have gained so far. So, Ken, you have farther to go at 150. Drina, you're at 70. Okay. So the first question, get ready to buzz in with your Star Wars noises. Most incorrect answer, what is Han Solo's last name?
That's good.
Ken, your noise was better, but Ken buzzed in first.
I started with the Death Star. I was trying to do the Ooga. It was horrible. I've had too many of these blue drinks. His real last name is Solitude.
Whoa, that's correct. I mean, that's quite correct.
Well, it's just
emotionally.
It's the full, yeah.
But that it's Solo in Spanish means alone, so that makes sense.
I did take 2 years of Spanish
there
1 and
go.
2 at Royal Grande High School. I'm doing weird.
All right. Darina, do you have a more incorrect answer than Solitude?
Wait.
Han Solo Starkiller.
Han Solo Starkiller.
Yeah.
Is his full last name.
Yeah.
Okay. That is very incorrect. So you lose 10 points.
Yeah,
so you're down to 60.
Yeah, I got to remember to go farther and correct. That's the genius of this game. You just
be more wrong.
Yeah.
You're too used to being right at trivia. Next question. When Admiral Ackbar says, it's a trap, what is he referring to?
Yippee.
Darina.
I just really wanted to make that noise.
That's a pretty incorrect answer to refuse to play the game. That's pretty good.
What was he referring to?
Yeah, what is the trap he's referring to?
Wait, am I supposed to answer correctly or no?
Incorrect.
Okay. Yes. Incorrectly.
The garbage chute animal.
The Dianoga.
Yes.
Okay. Ken, do you have a more incorrect answer, and could you buzz in?
What's the question again?
When Admiral Akbar says, it's a trap, what is he referring to?
Come on, Annie, let's go play ball. He is referring to the timeshare that was offered on Endor. And he's like, we've got to get out of here. It is a trap. You'll have to be paying on it for years.
It feels incorrect that he would suddenly think of that during the Battle of Endor. Like, I was swindled. All right, so Ken, you lose 20 points for that. Moving on. Please buzz in to answer this question. What sound does Chewbacca make? Nice.
Well, hello there, Mr. Solo. It's been a long time coming. I was in this prison in Jabba's palace for a very long time. Luke has got some delusions of grandeur.
That's exactly what his roar does not sound like. That's a great bad answer. Drina, do you have an incorrect answer for what Chewbacca sounds like?
It's a me.
Nice. Another 20 points lost. That's 110, Ken. 50 for Drina. All right, Ken, you're doing good, but you got to lose some more points.
Lose more.
Please fill in the blank of this famous quote. The rebellion is reborn today. The war is just beginning, and I will not be the last blank.
Piyosa.
Ken.
I will not be the last one here to turn the lights out.
Is that a reference to Young Guns 2 that I don't know?
Best $1.80 I ever spent. Yeah. No. Just a good thing in life to know.
Yeah, I like the idea that maybe Grumpy Luke is maybe like running like a kids camp or something. Yeah. These lights better be off when I come back. Drina.
Do I have to make a noise?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sepulba. There.
That is not a noise. That is a noun from Star Wars.
But he does it. He says that. He literally shouts his own name.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll let you slide on that one.
Okay,
but the next time
you.
I need a noise.
Okay, fine. Read it again so I can finish it.
The rebellion is reborn today. The war is just beginning, and I will not be the last.
Tauntaun.
All right. Drina loses 2 points. She's down to 8. And Ken's down to 118. Two questions left. What does Snoke wear?
Can we both just do a tauntaun?
I thought you both did like a cartoon spring violently bouncing. I think it was a tauntaun in a cartoon from 1938 seeing a sexy tauntaun. Doing, 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 doing.
I was trying to do the Empire droid.
Oh, remember? The probe droid?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Scanner on the
kind of
okay, Drini, we'll start with you. What do you think Snoke wears? Most incorrect answer.
Force push-up bras.
Ken?
I think he wears a three-piece leisure suit from 1972.
Those are both very incorrect. Ken, you are down to 100 points, and Darina, you are down to just 1 point. So, Ken,
yes.
you got to really push through. This is our big finale. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Please hum the famous main theme of Star Wars. To lose extra points, add lyrics. Again, we're looking for an incorrect answer, the most incorrect version of the famous main theme of Star Wars. Who would like to be?
Da, 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 da.
She didn't buzz in. Or is that your buzz in? Is that your buzz in?
I'm going to count that as your buzz in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have...
That was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just
add lyrics
to anything I say. Add some lyrics to that to make it as incorrect as possible.
My son Ben Solo's a jerk.
Incorrect to Star Trek, but pretty correct to Star Wars.
All right.
Ken, take us home with a big, beautiful, incorrect Star Wars main theme.
It was played by Figrin Dan and the modal nodes. We all heard it. It's dun 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 dun. Rebels are gonna win here. Luke is coming from the desert. He's gonna blow up your Death Star. Here comes the rebels and the Empire's going down. Ding 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 ding. That's all I got.
And then Luke walks in and turns the lights off and says, all right, I'm going to let the audience decide who lost the most points. Please applaud for who you feel lost the most points. Was it Darina? Was it Ken? By a small woo, Ken has lost the most.
I win it losing.
Darina, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. And thank you all for tolerating all of us.
What a way to do it. Thank you so much. Give it up for Darina one more time, the live audience here. So fun to have you guys. We are almost out of here. It has been an absolute blast doing the show for not just you all here now, but for those listening. And Star Wars Celebration reminds us we get to become face-to-face with the people that make this all worthwhile. We have a lot of fun doing it, Joseph.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And we got some social media stuff we need to plug, right?
Plug on our way out of here. If you guys want to join the conversation, as you all know back there, you can use the hashtag ForceCenter. Find us on Twitter, ForceCenterPod. Our Facebook page is ForceCenterPodcast. Website, ForceCenterPod.Podomatic.com. .net new merch is available, like these nice shirts, the Speculate Responsibly, and more coming at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Tweet us pics of your merch and we'll share them. If you see us at the Celebration Convention, tweet out those pics as well. Podcast is available on Podomatic, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. And Joseph, YouTube, we got that YouTube thing going, and we have our favorite thing we do is the animated data bank brawl thing that we still want people to check out that haven't, and that is done by Mr. Brian Ward, who is in attendance right now. It is just one of our favorite things. Brian, thank you.
So beautiful.
And over on Joseph, over on Patreon is where we're building to some goals.
That's right. You can go visit patreon.com/ForceCenter. We have a bunch of new tiers and new goals, and all that support really helps us keep doing things like this. Like, we probably couldn't have done this without the support from Patreon. So thanks to everybody who does that. Go check it out if you are interested.
Absolutely. We got our own stuff there. Where can they follow you, Darina?
At Evil Darina on Twitter and Instagram, not Facebook.
Absolutely. Joseph.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all sorts of comedy shows, comedy albums, all sorts of stuff like that.
Absolutely. Follow me at Ken Napsack. Go to kennapsack.com. Get information to pre-order my book, which comes out May 15th, Why We Love Star Wars. Joseph, that has been our show here. Force Center live just outside Star Wars Celebration.
That's right. And as you go out into the night with Star Wars in your heart, remember the great words, come on! Thank you very much. Good night.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.